Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Steve Marks.
And I'm Wade Wegner.
We have a fantastic show for you today. We are going to cover the news up front, as we always do, and then we are going to talk about multiple websites running in full IIS in a single web role in Windows Azure.
Yep.
Lots of people don't realize this is possible, but it is, and it's pretty great. So Wade's cooked up some demos around that.
And before we get started, actually, I want to point out you have a great shirt. I really like what you.
Well, thank you. I think it's pretty nice. Yours is all right.
Yeah.
I gotta say, you could have done better. But we do. We call each other in the morning before we do the show and just make sure that we're wearing the. I think the problem is the Windows Azure shirts are like. We each have five of these, maybe, and so the odds of overlap are, what, about 20%? It's kind of bad. Okay, and then, we will have a tip at the end also about this full IIS, multiple website stuff. But let's dive into the news.
All right, so we've got some news items. First one is sharing folders in Azure.
Sharing is caring. And this is about it's about like UNC share. So this is actually about, you know, how do you net share a folder, get that distributed across your application in Windows Azure. This is the basics. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say what's interesting here is you can see how we've had to define some endpoints.
Yep. So right, you need and there are two different ones, right? Because I think one of these is for the actual sort of. Net BIOS, like looking up the name and whatever, and then one is for the actual the share that goes out. So this is by itself, just that makes this blog post really useful because you know exactly which ports
which
you've
ports
got to deal with.
Yeah.
And then basically some code here that shares it out, that creates a user that all the sort of clients of the share are going to use that username and password to connect in here. So user is actually created. It's shared out using that user. And then the architecture here that diagram is the one that I wanted to kind of point people to because this is basically showing you've got one like file server, and so you've got a role with one instance, and then you've got the rest of the roles that talk to it. And so I do want to point out that if you design an app this way with sort of one instance of something, you have that single point of failure. You're not going to get the high uptime that you want. And so there are possibilities around doing hot swap sort of failover things and whatever. But this, I really like this. This project went through, what you need. You've got to declare those endpoints, how to set up the user and actually share out the folder. And how the clients all discover the right, you know, they have to discover the IP address of that role and talk to
That's nice. Also, he shared a sample.
Yep. So you can get the full code for this and play around.
Good example.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's neat. It's something I've been meaning to kind of take a look at, and yeah, Mario did it for us.
Great. So the next one was a primer on installing SCOM 2007 R2 in Windows Azure. So this is a really nice post. In fact, Walter, who wrote the post, I know he's been working on this for a long time. And it is not a particularly easy process. We have documentation on it, but I mean, there's a lot of things not necessarily covered when just looking at how to deploy the management pack for Windows Azure. There's a lot of things you need to consider for SCOM as well, and how to make sure you have the right refresh, the right version of everything. And it's a great post. Walter walks through every single little step needed in order to get this accomplished. Even things such as this where he says, hey, just because this dialog says installation complete doesn't actually mean it's complete. There's still more that you need to do to get this set up. So walks into it in great detail. And walking through this, by the time you're done, you should have no problems getting this set up.
So help me, explain to me exactly what's happening here. This is about, in my Windows Azure application, I'm installing
the management pack.
The management pack, which means that then I can remotely
So the idea here is that you use SCOM, so System Center Ops Manager, to monitor your Windows Azure instances.
Okay.
And in the instance is the management pack, which communicates back to your SCOM installation. All right, so the next one, Windows Azure Drives.
Yeah, so this is a post from the storage team, the Windows Azure storage team, about using Windows Azure Drives with full IIS, which is the default that you get in a web role with SDK 1.3. Basically, there are a bunch of gotchas. And so you can read the post for all the details, but there are a couple things in here that are really around different processes. Anytime you see something that talks about full IIS explicitly, it's either talking about one of the features, like we're going to talk about multiple websites, or it's talking about, hey, things are different because you're actually running as a different user in a different process. And this especially hits you when you're running locally, if you're running in the compute emulator on your machine, you're using drives. If you've got code in your web app and code in your role entry point that both need to use the drives, that actually won't work because it's using it's basically using local substitution on the machine to simulate drives when you're doing this, and that's per process, and so the other process won't see it, and there are a few other things like that. So read through this. This will tell you some of those things.
And it provides some workarounds, locally, right?
Yeah.
So there's ways to get around it.
Yep. And in the cloud, the only thing you really got to pay attention to, I think, is that it's sort of where you're doing the initialization code, where you initialize the cache and things like that. And that's in here, and that's actually not that big of a deal. Really, actually running in Windows Azure, there's not that there aren't that many big gotchas sort of in how to do the drive stuff. It's really running locally that's kind of tough, and you got to make sure that you follow this stuff. So everyone who's looking at that scenario should really read this so that they know those and don't get surprised by any of those issues.
Yeah. Excellent. So the last one here is Fun with Fabricam Shipping SaaS 1, creating a small business edition instance. So Vittorio has been on the show many
Captain
times.
Identity.
Captain Identity. One of the scenarios he's focused on is how to build out SaaS applications running up in the cloud, in particular looking at different types of multi-tenant scenarios where you may have multiple tenants running in the same instances. How do you architect and build out that application and so forth. And so what's nice is he's taken the Fabricam shipping software and set it up so that there's actually a couple of different versions available to you. So you've got the Enterprise Edition, which he's blogged and talked about at length. And that's really saying, I'm an enterprise. I want my own SQL Azure server. I want my own instances. I'm going to authenticate to my ADFS server. So it's the real enterprise scenario.
Right.
Then we've got the Small Business Edition, which says, hey, you know what? I'm going to use social identity providers, things like LiveID, Google, and so forth, instead of ADFS. But also, I don't need to have my own SQL Azure server. I can have my own database provisioned as another database within a database server. And that's good enough for me. Same with the application. I can define instances of that app as well. And so Vittorio's post here really walks through this scenario of what the Small Business Edition is. And it's really nice. Something I'll point out is all the source code is available for this. So he's got links to it. It's up in MSDN Code Gallery. So you can take a look. There are some nuggets, just some gems that are really nice in here. For instance, there's a full provisioning engine for provisioning ACS and scripting it out, how to deploy and script out your database. All these things really, really useful that you can take a look at this particular example of how it's set up, but then incorporate it into your own uses and your own applications.
Yeah, this is turning out to be a very useful demo. I mean, it's good. It's exactly what you said, because I mean, its primary goal is for the the SaaS ISV who's trying to figure out how do I make a multi-tenant application on Windows Azure. But a lot of the things you have to do, the mechanics of what you do there, are useful beyond that. So people shouldn't ignore this just because they're not doing a multi-tenant app. They should go take a look at that.
I have a feeling that over time we're going to see a lot of the things built for this scenario pulled out as separate examples, separate things, just because there is a lot of stuff here that's.
And if I would buy stock in Fabricam Shipping, I think they're architecting their app very well.
I hear Contoso's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Litware. Yeah.
So those ones.
In fact, we'll come back to these here in a moment.
Yeah, we're gonna use Litware probably as we go. So yeah, so that's a good. This is a good transition into our feature this week, which is about which is really a multi-tenancy sort of scenario. Although you can use it in a few different ways, but it's about how do you set up your web role using full IIS to run multiple websites from the same role.
Yeah.
And you might want to do this, as we said, for a lot of reasons, but I've heard a lot of people who run several websites unrelated, but they don't want to have different apps for each one of these and whatever, and particularly around price, some of these are very small and they don't necessarily want to have to run two full instances of each one of these when they could perhaps share.
Well,
so
I think, and the reason we decided to talk about this today is just recently you gave a talk where I think you asked everyone in the audience to raise their hand if they knew that you could do this.
I was disappointed.
And not many people raised their hand.
Yeah, there were three out of a room of 125 or so. There were three people who actually knew that you could do this.
Now, our audience is probably a little more savvy in terms of what's.
I think so. If I had asked them how many people watch Cloud Cover, maybe. I bet it also would not have been a huge percentage.
Maybe
but
the same hands.
But I think this one's. It just hasn't gotten a lot of attention. I think I haven't seen a lot about it. I think it's good to Yeah. It's good to cover this. So let's take a look.
So what we're going to do is we're just going to do everything as a new file project rather than having some more complex scenario. We don't want to take away from anything based on the type of app we're using.
Yep. So you're going to see excellent style sheets and logos. Yeah. And
you've never seen before. So we'll start off by creating a new project, and we'll select our cloud project. And just go ahead and create it. You see I have a whole bunch already. And I'm going to add a web role. Now, I'm going to add the role. We're not necessarily going to use this role, at least in the end. But yep. We're going to add one role to begin with. And so I've added this role, and we'll immediately come down here to the service definition file. And we've talked about this before, but with the 1.3 SDK, it now uses full IS, and as part of it, we've got this sites set of tags right here. And so that defines and maps to sites yep. that get deployed into IIS.
Yep, and you may have wondered, you may have looked at this and wondered what why? It's doing there and why there's a sites node and a site node yeah. under it, and that's all about enabling this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so it's worth just, I think, running it first and highlighting yep. when this runs, what's actually happening in IIS and what this looks like. So let's let this run. Meantime, I'll open up IIS Manager. And wait for this to start, and we'll do a refresh once it's there. In fact, this is already here, so let's refresh. So the site maps to a site that runs under IIS. So
yep.
That's why it's named that way. It's got its own application pool, and here's our site. And so what we'll do is let's go ahead and stop this. And in this first scenario, we want to show how we can run multiple sites and point to different resources.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's something implicit here, which I think we're going to make explicit in a second, which is right. There's no, right now, where is that code
yeah.
located? Well, it's in whatever directory your role is in. And yeah. Visual Studio is actually kind of behind the scenes fixing that up.
Yeah. So I could say physical directory, and I could point to my, just make sure I get the right name, my web role, right? Web role one.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would be a way of explicitly defining where my web role is. Or what I could do is I can create a brand new project, and this time, rather than creating a cloud project, I'll go here and I'll create just an ASP.NET web application, and go ahead and create this. I'll remind myself to build and compile it first.
And why don't we put something, do you think we should put something in the welcome text or something that just,
yeah, sure.
so we can keep track of which of these is which? yeah, great.
So Steve wanted me to type something here, so let's
rebuild again to make sure,
that.
Yep.
And then I'm going to just quickly grab the path. So this is the path to the project, not to
yep.
the solution, but to the project. And if I come back here now, what I'll do is I will point that specifically to the physical directory.
Right.
And now when it runs, it's going to load that project instead. Should I go ahead?
Yeah, let's run it just to prove it. And I want to point something out about this physical directory. It's sort of implicit in the first thing, and I want to point out where that implicitness comes from. It's that Visual Studio specifically looks for a site named web and then plugs in the directory of sort of where your published web app is. Wait, that didn't do what we expected.
That didn't do what we expected at all. So let's try this one more time. Do we need to set?
Oh, we do have to. That's exactly
yeah.
what. Actually, that's perfect. That
that's
mistake.
A good way to,
no, we don't need the host header. You know what? I think the site name change that you just made is going to do
gonna
it.
Fix it.
Because Visual Studio does look for this one that's specifically called web.
Yeah. So okay,
and
well,
does
let's
that.
Try this again.
So let's put something else in there.
Web 1.2.3. I like that. Let's
yeah.
run it again.
And then we'll see if I'm right.
This is a reminder. Next time, let's try all use cases before we run them. Although.
Yeah, maybe we should prepare before the things.
There we go.
Steve wanted me to type something here. So that's actually, I can't believe, let's pretend we planned that. So we did that just to show you that it's actually specific about the name of that site. That might seem counterintuitive. It's not just because there's exactly one there or because it's missing the physical directory. If it's called web, Visual Studio will just sort of put that right directory in there. And so if you're playing around with this stuff, be cognizant of that.
Let me see if I can restate that. So if you want to specify a different physical directory,
yep.
don't use the implicit
right.
web.
There's a special yep. site name called web that does
Good.
It.
I actually didn't know that, so I learned something.
See,
honestly.
No, you knew that. That's why you
oh, that's
left
right.
the thing. Remember, we did it on purpose.
Okay.
Totally.
Cool.
So that's actually, so this is kind of cool because now the web role that's in there that's in this project mm-hmm. isn't actually what's used for hosting the website at yep. all. And this actually points out to the split of we could have put something in the on start in this web role, and that still would have run because there's actually kind of two things going on yep. in a web role. One is that role entry point and right. all the stuff in there, and so the other is the web content.
So right here, this web role. So that's yep. still going to be there. The fabric's still going to call into that entry point and
exactly.
execute anything that we
exactly.
want. But when it executes and runs the site, it's now going to be using
yep.
this new app.
And that split, I think, should help people to understand what we're about to do next about sort yep. of configuring multiple sites.
So if we want to go a step further and create another site, what we'll do is we'll grab, I mean, we can type this again. I'm just going to go ahead and grab this, remove it, create a new, we'll call this web 456, and now we need to have an app to point it to. So let's create another application. And
another brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliantly designed.
We'll create an MVC application. And what do you want to say in this one? Anything in particular? Well, let's just leave this one as is. And grab the path. Come back here, put this in. So if I were to hit F5, then both of these would be responding to port 80.
Right.
So we need to enter and put a host header here so that now we can have two sites listening port 80 but resolving the traffic.
Right. Exactly like on IIS. If yep. you have multiple websites, you're likely using, you could use different ports. You probably won't. You'll probably use different host headers yep. all listening on port 80. Yep. You do the same thing here.
And so here's where Litware comes back. So now
yes.
we can run as Litware. And it was something that I considered registering, but instead the tip really is to go to your host header file and just update it so that these resolve locally to your
right.
loopback address.
Right.
Again, no different from IIS.
Yep. If you were testing this under IIS, you'd do the exact same thing.
So.
And in fact, that's all it's doing. I mean,
it is running.
Let's see it run, right? But we can open that up in
IIS
Manager also and see. It looks exactly like if you had configured multiple websites, pointing at different directories, listening to on different host headers, so a binding with a different host header.
All right. So here's the Steve wanted me to type this site. And now let's go to www.litware.com.
And here's the one where we didn't type anything.
The MVC application. All right, so let's take a look at IIS and refresh this. Make sure we've got it. So we've got two sites. Here's Web 123.
Yep.
And it's actually nice to see that this maps to the name, the site name as well,
yep.
right? So site name Web 123 and Web 456. And if you take a look at the bindings, you'll see here is Litware.
Right.
So it's actually got a host header name for Litware. The port gets assigned dynamically here, but it's really the emulator that's managing that.
Right, because this is, again, behind a load balancer. Actually, one thing I thought we should point out probably is that if you're running multiple instances and you're running that locally, you will see multiple websites in IIS. They're sort of mm-hmm. separate things. And so that's why you see, like, web role 0 in the actual ID of the role instance
yeah.
is part of the name. And if we had more, we would see... Web role 1 is just the name of the role, right? The .0 is the which instance it is.
Yep.
And
so if we had multiple,
so it'd say 1 and whatever.
0,
right?
1, 2.
And that's why the port gets, right, because there's going to be a load balancer that's listening on port 81 in this case, and then it's kind of managed.
Yep. Yep. Cool. All right. So we can take this even a step further, right? And we
yeah.
should.
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
If we can take a step, we should take it.
So one other thing is, within websites, you also can have virtual applications.
Yep.
And so through the service model, we can even declare, additional applications underneath it. So
pretty much the, if you look at the XML you've got when you do IIS, and if you look in application host
yeah.
config, you'll see pretty much exactly the same XML, slightly different for, like, the bindings are declared in a kind of different way and things.
Yep.
But it's basically the same thing, which means you can, just as you have there, you can have virtual applications.
Yep. So I'm creating yet another application, and this one I'm just going to call my virtual application. And so we'll go ahead and build that. I'm going to grab the path to it.
People may be wondering what happens with this path when you deploy to the cloud.
Yeah,
I think that it's quite simple, actually, although I think it's a bit confusing, because you put in this config file.
It's not going to be deployed to
yeah,
colon users.
Right, exactly.
Right?
And ignore what's in there is just so that the tools know where that content is. When it actually gets packaged up, it's just part of the package that you deploy
yeah.
to Windows Azure like anything else. So this path, it doesn't matter what you put in this path, it'll end up being the right thing when it's deployed. In fact, if you go remote desktop in, you'll see this underscore WASR underscore folder. I don't know what that stands for and can't figure it out. Maybe Windows Azure Service Runtime? That was my best guess. But then there's a backslash zero for web roles, and that's your website if you've got one. There'll be a backslash one and a backslash two, and it's going to have all this stuff under there. And so it just works out. So it gets moved to a different place, which means you can feel free in this physical directory to either use a relative path, or to use a physical path that's just C colon backslash wherever you put it.
And worth noting,
you don't have to worry about it.
We're not adding the project to our solution as well.
Yeah, so the only link here is that path in the config. Yeah.
So, all right, so let's go ahead and create a virtual application. And it's going to be very similar to here. We're going to give it a name, and my virtual app, and then a physical directory. And that's what we're going to paste there. And that's it. So that's the code needed to add a virtual application. Go ahead and run this again. And so yet we're running another application now living within an existing site.
So we now got, we've got three things. We've got a website that's listening to whatever comes on port 81 that didn't go to anywhere else. We've got litware.com.
Yep, so now let's go to litware and show that one's still running. All right. And then now we've got yet another one, my virtual app. And now we have another one. So this is, you can see right here, my virtual app. So kind of cool. I mean, certainly a way to optimize you know, your use of the instance. And if we come here to our sites, refresh that, you can see now here we've got my virtual app.
Yep, just looks like any other virtual app you'd create under IIS.
So pretty cool.
Okay, I want to point out one more thing before we then go to the tip, which I think is another use case for this, which we don't have to actually show, but some people will create multiple websites and point them at the same physical directory, and they'll do that because they're setting up, they're setting up a few things, and they basically look at the host header and decide what to do. They use routing in MVC or something else to kind of respond differently to different host headers. And sometimes it's useful to have those set up as multiple sites so that you can actually configure those things differently. And so sometimes people will use this, I think, as a way to kind of reuse the same code, but on multiple different bindings and different host headers. Mm-hmm. So just another use of this. But it's pretty flexible. I mean, it basically gives you the same abilities you have in IIS to define different sites and different virtual directories and virtual applications. But straight from config in your web role.
And we also want to just demonstrate that you can take what we've done and virtually deploy it and have it work. You do want to make sure that you're not using a domain that you don't have control to, like litware and so forth. But we went ahead and did that and went to cc.wadewegner.com.
But this is like the tip. You're giving away the tip now.
Oh, is this the tip?
This is the tip.
Oh,
don't show this.
All right, I'm not sure.
Pretend Wade didn't say anything. It is now time for everyone's favorite time of the show, which is not the tip of the week, but it is the moments before the tip of the week
where the magic happens.
Unbelievably demented but talented editor Bob puts in something for us as an intro to the tip of the week. We were, before the show, watching some nature footage.
Yeah, there was...
I don't know why. It was just...
horses.
It was on the screens behind us. Not running. Horses can't run, they can gallop.
And they can canter.
I think I would like to see some. I'd like to see horses sort of taking us to our tip of the week. So, I don't know, Bob, have fun with that, but here is your tip of the week. Now we're really going to show. Yeah, Wade, you've ruined it. But the next question is,
so excited.
Once you've done all this, how do you go deploy it up to the cloud? And the answer is you hit publish.
Yeah, you just publish it.
But what do you do with these host names and things like that? And that's what I think we should cover. So you did deploy this or something very similar.
In fact, I took an example of this, and what I did is instead of using something like www.litware.com, I just replaced it with a domain and a CNAME that I control. So cc.wadewegner.com. Now, wadewegner.com is my domain. What I actually did, and I'm not going to log in and show, but I went to GoDaddy and I registered a new CNAME, and that CNAME was CC. And what that CNAME points to is my actual application running up in Windows Azure. So in this case, it was cloudcovershows.cloudapp.net. And so anytime I hit cc.wadewegner.com, it resolves to my application running up in Windows Azure. but it's going to have a host header name that IIS is going to see called cc.wadewagner.com.
Right. The rule, to keep all this stuff straight, whatever you type into the browser, that's the host header
yes.
that makes it, because that makes it in the HTTP headers the whole way through the app. So that's the host header you want. Your CNAME records and whatever are all just a way to resolve to the right IP address at the end. And so you don't have to worry about the fact that, well, somewhere in there, there was a something.cloudapp.net. Do I have to put that in some? You don't, because that's all just at the level of resolving the IP address. Then it just goes straight through, and the request is made for cc.wadewagner.com. Slash something. So that works, right?
Yep. So let's show it. I've already showed it once.
Yep.
But here it is running cc.wadewagner.com. Now, whether or not this is still running when we publish this is unclear. I may replace this with something else, but at least now it is running.
For now it's running, right?
And even for the virtual app, I mean, you can see here, I can go to my virtual app, and it's running yet
yep.
another site. It looks like I used the same template, which doesn't really change much. But
as this shocking demonstration shows you,
and it is loading something. So
yeah. So right. And so,
but be clear, when I deployed this, Steve didn't tell me to change the title.
That is true. It was my fault for not telling him to type something in there. But if you had all other sites, you could just set up other CNAMEs or other domains, point them all at something.cloudapp.net. So your CNAME record looks like cc.wadewagner.com goes to something, I forget what it was, .cloudapp.net
yep.
That goes there. If you just point lots of things at that, you can use lots of websites in that same web role, and all that will just sort of work. So that's pretty cool. As another step of this that I kind of want to call out in the tip is that as you're testing this, you may not want to just immediately go and set your CNAME mm-hmm. records, particularly if you're using a staging URI, and so because then you've got some GUID.cloudapp.net. You can still test this stuff in the cloud as long as you do what we did locally, which is set in your host file in System32 drivers, etc. hosts.
You know what I do? I just go to run, and I type drivers.
And that just that does it.
And it just opens you up right to your Windows System 32 drive.
That's a whole tip of the week by itself. I'm not going to tell you the rest because that was it. No.
And then from there, it's just Etsy.
Right. So if you look up, can you open the host file again just to remind people? So each one of these lines has an IP address and then the host.
Yep.
So you can just go ping some GUID.cloudapp.net. Just take whatever IP address is there, stick it in here, and then you can do all your testing.
Right.
Against the cloud, but without having a real domain name set up yet. And I think that's very useful for getting this going, especially with the staging URLs that are always changing.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to change the CNAME every time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's kind of that plus how to do those CNAMEs is kind of the process you need as you go from running locally to running in the cloud with this stuff.
Yep. That's great.
All right. I think that's it, right? We covered everything.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. You should send us something on Twitter.
Yep.
You should just say anything you want to at Cloud Cover Show. It doesn't have to be relevant.
No, but we do like suggestions for topics.
We
and
do.
Ideas.
And there was a question on there that we didn't address in this show, and we'll have
question.
To. Yeah,
take a look at that.
There's a question, and it's about caching, and so I think you might know a little something about
right.
that. So I just wanted to say we did see that question. We will come back to it. But yeah, if you have other suggestions about things we should cover, at Cloud Cover Show, we'll ignore them. But each week we'll acknowledge that we've ignored them. I think that's our commitment. It's yes, we read it, and we didn't feel like talking about it. So send us a note at Cloud Cover Show, and until next time, thanks.
Thank you.